Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
This is Jonathan Gillum filling in for my good buddy Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. And, man, it's always great to be back here. You know, I left the SEAL teams back in, 2002. I then went to the Air Marshals, did some security contracting, was an FBI agent here in New York City on the criminal and counterterrorism divisions, and which is going to lead great into this show today, is I'm going to talk a lot about what is going on in Washington, D.C., because I feel like a lot of people are doing great work in pointing out the things that are happening and what people are doing, but they're not quite putting the picture together from an investigative standpoint. And that's what I'm going to strive to do today throughout the day, is help you see the reality that there's a whether you want to call it a subversive group, the deep state, or as I'm seeing it now, a criminal enterprise, not any different than the mob when they roll into a location and own that location. And we're going to discuss that a little bit. And I'm going to give not a call to arms. I don't want to use that word because people will go crazy if I say that. But I want to call the American citizenry out. And what I want you to focus on here as I start this show, and again, let me give you the call-in number, 800-941-7326. That's 800-941-SEAN. I want to hear your thoughts on this throughout the show. The American people need to realize, and I say this all the time on my show, The Experts, which is aired 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every night on Facebook Live, Twitter, and YouTube. I simulcast it all. I can't yell at anybody like the guy from MSNBC because I do all the stuff. I produce it. I do the tech stuff. So, but here's what I talk about, and people are responding to this. I don't care anymore if you're liberal or conservative. You need to stop thinking of yourself as alt-left or alt-right or a leftist. If you identify with that, this conversation is not for you. If you're conservative or if you're liberal, this is what you need to realize. We need what's effective in this country. When we have a problem, we just need to have that problem fixed. Like I talked about before on this show and on my show, if you have a light bulb that needs to be changed, well, what do? You figure out the best way to fix that light bulb. If the ceiling's 20 feet high, some people will grab a tall ladder. Some people will grab a stick that has a suction cup on the end of it, and they'll use that. So, basically, what you need to do is...
Jonathan, you should just let everybody know what's happening right now. You know, people are just coming into the studio and just doing stuff when you're talking about important things. How dare they?
How dare he? I hear this rip. Anyway, listen, I can handle it.
We're here to help.
Look, it's either this or when I'm home doing my show, my dog Rico, 17-year-old Jack Russell, lays down next to me and relieves himself because he's mad during my show.
Or during the last interview you did where he was coughing up a lung.
Coughing. Thank goodness.
Rico.
You didn't come in and do that, Ethan. That would have been bad. But let me get back to this light bulb thing. So there's different ways to change a light bulb, right? There's different ways. Both are effective, whether you use a long stick that has a suction cup or you use a ladder, or if you get a couple buddies together and they pick you up. It doesn't matter. They're all effective ways. What the government does and what these organized crime people do is they will to pad their pockets, do a study. They'll go get they'll put out a request for different contractors, which they own a part of, to put in a bid to change this light bulb. Eventually, they'll hire 10,000 people, pay them way too much so they can pick up the house, turn it while one person holds the bulb. That's the way the government thinks. Now, you have to realize it's not just our government. This is all over the United States. It's all over the place where these globalist and communistic mindsets have set in. And the people are just comfortable with this. And this is the best way to look at all this. Forget about the Democratic Party. Forget about Republican Party. Forget about who your most favorite politician is. Are they effective? Are the things that they come up with effective? Do they do things in a timely manner? Do they get things done when they need to be done? That's what you need to concentrate on. That's it. And if you do that, you will start to see who should be gone and who should stay. You'll start to look at different candidates when they come up there of who should serve and who should not serve. Now, I'm going to give you a perfect example. This guy is not an American citizen. He's not an American politician, but he's one of the biggest goofballs I've ever heard. I don't know how Canada chose to elect Trudeau, but I want to play a soundbite for you of Trudeau talking about what a man is and why it's important for a man to be a feminist. Let me use this as the example of how you decide what's effective and what's not effective. Let's play that sound.
It is so important that we all understand that it's not only that men can be feminists, it's that men should be feminists as well. And I am proud of that. Being a feminist for me means recognizing that men and women should be, can be, must be equal, and secondly, that we still have an awful lot of work to do. I am proud to stand here during UN week here in New York and advocate for He for She. He for She is a UN movement that I hope all of you go up and sign up for, of men standing up for women, men shutting down some of those negative conversations that we get in locker rooms, in bro culture. We need to know that we are better than that. How we treat our sisters, our girlfriends, our cousins, our mothers, and the world around us matters. We need to take back what it is to be a man, and that means being open, compassionate, respectful, and brave about standing up for it.
We'd like to send this special dedication out to Trudeau.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore.
What do you think, Jonathan?
No more bro code, evidently. He said get rid of that bro code.
This is not okay.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see Justin Trudeau. Listen, I'm trying to be politically correct in this because there are three ways to Sunday I could go off the deep end in this whole thing. First of all, I wasn't even sure if that was a man talking, to be honest with you. He could take the what was it, he for she? I couldn't tell if it was a
He's a man who understands what it's like to be a woman.
Yeah, I guess so.
And there's really not a lot more to say about that.
I guess so. But here's the point when all this, where we just skewed off to the left here. This is the thing. Justin Trudeau is more concerned with this. Listen, in Canada, you can actually go to jail for saying offensive things, right? Well, he's more concerned with fairness than effectiveness. It's obvious because if he realized, well, he does realize because he's a communist. If he was truthful as to what he was saying, is he wants to bring up the feminist issue, which is a communist group. Don't kid yourself, women, if you're out there and saying you're a feminist. Listen, you are either powerful or you're looking for an excuse for somebody to help you along. Jumping on the bandwagon with these people is not going to help you be effective. It's not going to help you be empowered. And Justin Trudeau, like all these other people, like Hillary Clinton, like the rest of them, what they're doing is they're looking for ways to divide the people. There is nothing in that statement that he said describing what makes a man that truly defines who a man is. Listen, I said this on my show earlier this week, and a lot of people gave me good feedback about it. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I die today on my scooter riding back home, I hate saying that. If I die today, I'm okay. I've lived a life of service. I treat women with respect. I stand next to women if they need to help. I will step in front of them if I need to defend them. But I don't put any woman down. I don't. I hold Hillary Clinton to the same standard of stupidity as I would hold a man.
I'm just chilling in Cedar Rapids.
So, you know, being a man has to do with creating a legacy. It really has the same thing to do with being a woman, living your life to the fullest, being your best. Don't let people get in your way if they want to hold you down. If somebody comes up against you because of the color of your skin or your sexuality or your gender, step around that person and keep succeeding. Build a legacy so that if you die tomorrow, people will say, I learned a tremendous about that amount of, from that person, and my life has changed because of them. That's how you prove that you're a man. I think that's enough said. I wish we could go back and erase that few minutes when we played Justin Trudeau or whoever she was that was talking. So
back up, you creep.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, this is probably the most unusual start to a Sean Hannity radio show ever, but I'm okay with that. I think unconventionally outside the box. If you're driving down the road, this is just the beginning, folks. We're just getting started for the next 3 hours, so don't turn your radio off. If you're on your way home, go get you some Starbucks, pull into your driveway, and just sit there for a while. If you're on a New York City bus, hey, it's not costing you anything to just ride. Turn it up so other people can hear it. Listen, you can find me on Twitter, JGilliam_Seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. I also do a show called The Experts every night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And I have a book that's coming out December 12th. You can pre-order it now. It's called Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. And guess who wrote the foreword for this book? Our good buddy Sean Hannity. It's endorsed by Marcus Luttrell, The Lone Survivor. Pre-order it now. More people get it. More people that order it, the more people are going to see it, the more people are going to order it, and the more empowered this nation will be. We'll be right back. This is Jonathan Gilliam filling in for my good buddy Sean Hannity and his whole crew back here on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. And listen, I don't want you all to forget about this. Sean goes live on Fox News at 9 p.m. on Monday, September 25th. That's why I move my show, The Experts, which is on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, to 8 o'clock. Because I didn't want to be taking away from his audience. It's me. I'd be taking away from his audience. Yeah. So find me on Twitter, JGilliam_Seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. And check out also Sean's movie. It's called Let There Be Light. That's coming out October 27th. And if you want to be a part of Let There Be Light, go to LetThereBeLightMovie.com. There's a contest, /contest, and you can be a part of that as well. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Now, 800-941-7326, 800-941-SEAN is the number. Let's go. I want to go to Josephine in Florida. And I want to, Josephine, you're asking about Mueller. How can we get him out?
Yes. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's okay. You can call me Sean
wasting,
any day.
He's wasting precious dollars on a witch hunt, money that can be funded back to the states who have suffered catastrophes, in addition to him having a conflict of interest with Comey. I don't understand. We have to remove him. How can we as American people stand together to get him removed from his position as special investigator?
Well, listen, there is one person that can get rid of him, and that's the president. But the people need to make it known. Again, my opening statements, I tried to make this clear. I don't know, I got a little bit lost on the Justin Trudeau thing, but it's the American people have to start unifying and coming together. I preach about this all the time. And what my goal is in this show today is by the time I leave that people will understand exactly what you're talking about the reality of Mueller and Comey, who was there before him. I worked under Mueller. Mueller basically destroyed the FBI by turning it from a law enforcement agency into an intelligence agency, which you're going to ask yourself, why would somebody do that when that is the that is the pinnacle of law enforcement? But that's the way these politicians and these political appointees and these senior executives work. And I think you're exactly right that this is no more than just a witch hunt that is going to produce nothing. But I'm going to show you throughout this show exactly what that witch hunt is and who all is involved with that. So I'll talk more about this, Josephine, but thank you for the call. And you keep asking those questions, eventually somebody is going to answer that question for you in Washington, D.C., I hope. God bless you and have a great weekend. I keep forgetting today's Friday. It seems like it's been Friday all week for some strange reason. So let me just talk for a second before we go to break. To all the people who travel for business out there, you know it's a game of wins and losses. Having your hotel room away from the elevator, listen, I've been there where the hotel room is right next to the elevator. It's constantly ringing. If you can get away from that, that's a win. Not having Wi-Fi in your room, that's a loss. But your trip, your business trip, buying that business trip at Upside.com, well, that's just not just another win. It's a triple win. Number one, Upside has the absolute best available prices for flights, hotels, and rental cars. Win number two is that Upside will reward you with a gift card to places like Amazon.com every time you buy a business trip. And number three, this is great, is the amazing six-star treatment you'll get from Upside's customer service specialists, who they call navigators. Now, these navigators are instantly accessible 24/7 by voice, chat, email, or message on the Upside app, even reaching out to you with useful info to help you avoid a problem before it happens. And I'm going to start your Upside six-star treatment right now. If you go to Upside.com and use the code Hannity, you'll get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. That's code Hannity for a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you buy your next business trip at Upside.com. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. There you go, folks. Now, coming up on the next 15 to 30 minutes, I'm going to have Scott Uhlinger, former CIA operations officer and station chief, and we're going to be digging in to the exact problem that you're seeing in Washington, D.C., and we're going to start to put together an investigative picture for you. I'm Jonathan Gillum. Come back, 800-941-7326. We'll be right back.
Covers the real truth about the politics of D.C. He's your watchdog on Big Brother every day. Hannity is on right now.
This is Jonathan Gillum filling in for my good buddy Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. Don't forget, calling numbers 800-941-7326, 800-941-SEAN. And you can find me on Twitter, @JGilliam_Seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. And don't forget, as I've been saying and I will continue to tell you about, is this book, Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. Sean wrote the foreword for this book. It's going to be an incredible book. Everybody needs to order this now so that you get it on December 12th and you're fully prepared for any potential things that may happen over the Christmas holidays. Now, what I'm going to talk about next with Scott Uhlinger directly relates to this book, because I use the tactics that I talk about in the book of targeting yourself and building a target package. I just did it on the country. And you can clearly identify when you use the techniques in this book, Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can pre-order it right now. What is incredible about this is nobody's ever taught the American people how to target themselves. And so when you use the tactics, the bad guy and how they function and how they work, it just pops right out when you divide everything up into sectors. So joining me now and speaking, somebody who can speak to this type of targeting is my good buddy Scott Uhlinger. He is a Navy veteran. He is a former CIA operations officer, and he was a chief of station. You can find him on Twitter at the Station Chief. And I guess other than wearing a cape, he basically is Superman. Or I guess you're more like Roger Moore in 007, I guess. Which one is it?
I guess. I was actually going to compare myself more to I'm Robin to your Batman, but that's okay. Thanks for the compliment.
No. Yeah, the way I look at it, remember how 007, whenever he goes certain places, his European counterpart, his British counterpart pops up? That's kind of what we're like, you know, FBI, CIA,
right.
Both
that's
Navy.
Good point. Right.
So,
exactly.
So I'm going to throw this out to you, and I want you to just look at this with an open mind, from an investigative mindset. I don't think people realize that the CIA, your job is recruiting sources, running sources, but ultimately you're investigating. You're looking for the spider web and the details in the spider web, right? So
exactly.
So let me lay this out, and you tell me if this appears to you as a organization, whether it's criminal organized or subversive organized enterprise, you let me know. So let's just start off with Paul Manafort and the lockpicking, brass knuckle tactics, where they go in, they get a no-knock warrant, a FISA warrant, which is a secret warrant from the FISA
That's
court,
right?
Which means, involved in this already, the U.S. attorney, a U.S. attorney that is managing the case, but definitely you're going to have the attorney general involved in this at this level. So the attorney general, a U.S. attorney, you're going to have a judge that sits on the FISA court. You're going to have probably some high-level FBI agents that are executives in the FBI. They're going to handpick people and carry out this type of an investigation because of its high-level people that are involved with it.
Right.
Now, with that group that you know are there, you know the president's going to know about this. Leading up to not the election, but when the president, President Trump, was getting ready to take office, there were over 260 unmaskings last year.
That's right.
A majority of those happened right before he took office. Not before the election, right before he took office, which tells
That's
me
right.
They were moving as fast as possible before some of these political appointees would be gone. They utilized the ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, which I don't know, and maybe you can explain to the American people in a minute, where she falls in the line of intelligence to be unmasking anyone. And then they go in, they lie to the American public, they lie to Congress, and they say, with Clapper, for instance, we're not looking at anything. We're not. There's no overhears. There's not. They're lying. They go into Manafort's apartment, I believe it was. It was a house or apartment. They get a no-knock.
They're doing surveillance on it, right?
And they get a no-knock warrant. And they go in before, you know, usually even a no-knock warrant is between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. so that we don't disturb the public while they sleep. They go in, pick the lock, and then they go in and wake him up in his bedroom. Now, the only reason you would ever do that is if there was an imminent danger of loss of life, or if you thought national security secrets would immediately be destroyed so that you couldn't knock the door down and get to in there before he destroys these things. We're talking about computers. We're talking about thumb drives. Right. We're talking about paper. When I show how shady that is, which sounds to me like it was a violation of his constitutional rights, and when I name all these different people in this chain of command,
right?
Is it possible that these people are all working together? They know each other. They've been working together. This whole system is in place, and they're utilizing this system to take down the current president.
There's no question about it, John. I mean, you know, I was involved in intelligence for an entire career, right? I retired from the CIA, and you know, being in the Navy like you, and you saw the FBI, and we all basically as insiders know this to be true. It's a fact. I mean, yeah, that Dawn raid on Manafort, he was already cooperating, so that in itself is Why would they be doing that if he was a cooperative witness? So it's just psychological intimidation. And you have to look at, yeah, let's look at the web that you put out there. You know, you've got attorneys approving, or, you know, you got a judge approving FISA and stuff. Okay, who appointed that judge is one thing an intelligence officer would immediately look at. You know, who appointed that judge and who does he owe fealty to? And the bottom line is this whole system was kind of set up by the president. And even if President Obama did not order these people to do these things, it's clear that he appointed the kind of people who would do this without prompting, simply to seek the favor of the big boss. You know, Samantha Power at the United Nations. Now, that's a real red herring, but it makes sense if you want to, in other words, they're kind of out of the normal intelligence realm. So maybe by having her unmask a lot of people, it was done to kind of cover up the tracks, because it was not done by the usual figure that would do an unmasking. So they had her do it to basically throw people off the trail.
But how,
exactly. So it looks really bad. I mean, this is really bad. And the moment that President Trump tweeted that he was wiretapped, and immediately the press went into a frenzy, I immediately knew that there was something to it. Because this is the other thing, is that if somebody is just being foolish and tweets out something foolish, it kind of falls flat on its own. But if you tweet out something that stands to make other people into fools, it draws rage. And right. That's exactly what he did. He touched a nerve, and that alone showed me that there is something there.
But, you know, we're always told, in the military and in law enforcement and in intelligence work, you know, you stay away from the media, and there's ramifications for what you do. You know, when you, like, for instance, if you get a FISA that violates somebody's constitutional rights, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to probably get to go to jail for that. But nothing seems to be happening here. And so what I'm trying to show the American people, it's not just me. You know, I'm a trained investigator, but so are you. And you come from a different branch of the government, a different way of thinking. And it, for us, experts in these fields, it stands out, this group of people, to where they're working systematically. And you know, this isn't the first time they've done this. I mean, look at the Ninth Circuit Court. Look at the judge in Hawaii. Look how these people systematically work together. Look how Comey leaked information to cause a special prosecutor to come on. Then Mueller, his buddy, takes over. Sessions recuses himself, is nowhere to be seen. I mean, the way this stuff works out, there's no other, at the lower level, you would never have anything this clean that just works out perfectly. Never.
That's right. There was an interesting angle. It's in the American Spectator today, and the author pointed out it's pretty good, because it kind of encapsulated the way I was thinking. Is he's saying that, and it makes sense to me, that this whole this Mueller investigation is really being done basically to put out another fire, and that is, if they can somehow manufacture or come up with some garbage that somehow ties Trump to Russia, it will serve to perhaps justify these in their own minds these unconstitutional actions that they committed against the Trump administration, to sort of justify their activity. Well, I know we did this and we wiretapped and we shouldn't have, but it was in the name of national security. Then, of course, that's total garbage, but it shows you the way these people think.
Mm-hmm. Well, wiretapping for national security purposes is one thing, but unmasking people where they found, and I want people to understand what this unmasking thing is.
Right. It is important.
You say this is what makes no sense about Mike Flynn, by the way. Mike Flynn worked in intelligence for the longest time. He knows that these people are being listened to. And I would never have talked about this before, but it's all out in the open now. So these people are always being monitored, the ambassadors and the people that work for other countries. They're being monitored.
Right.
So they go and request a meeting with Trump's people. Or they say, we've got this information for Trump's people. And so they set up a meeting and they go there. What does that sound like? That sounds like they are being set up, is what that sounds like.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you can and that is exactly what I suspected from the get-go. Because you can do these things against foreign nationals with very little effort. What you do is, if you actually want to, for instance, target someone in the Trump administration, all you have to do is study their circle a little bit, ascertain which people around them are foreign nationals, and then you just start monitoring all the foreign nationals' conversations. Now, you don't care about those foreign nationals per se, who they talk to. If they talk to some other foreigner, you don't really care. You're really doing it to indirectly target an American. And I'm sure that they were doing these kinds of things.
And that's,
they were skirting the law. They were circumventing the law by using the system against itself to basically, you know, reach political, attain their own political end.
And that is so close to entrapment that it's unbelievable. So
it is.
So my whole take on this has been that they have sources, the DNC and Obama had sources in the Russian and Russian government, and they say, can you set this up and just say this? And then what do? Then they unmask these people, even though they didn't do anything wrong, and they say they had a meeting with Russia, and they Russia said this, and this is how they responded. And even though nobody broke any law except for them unmasking these people, they can blow it up on the world stage and make this big lie get bigger and bigger.
That's right, because the unmasking, you know, when the people read, when Samantha Power is reading her intelligence reports that somehow she has a great need to see, which is unusual in and of itself.
Right.
You know, she's reading, she's seeing what the, so listeners understand, what she's looking at is she's looking at, of course, you know, secret or top secret information, and it's saying, for instance, the Chinese ambassador was in a discussion with, and it won't say John Gilliam, it will say a prominent American radio personality, and right. it would not have your name in it. And so what you can do in limited situations is, if you really need to know the actual identity of the person for some kind of clarity, you can say, okay, I really need to know who this prominent American radio personality is.
Yeah.
And then you can go through a process and get the name John Gilliam. But the problem is that most of the time, that is simply not necessary to understand, like, to get the context of the intelligence you're reading.
I got to run, buddy.
So it's not okay, sure thing.
Yeah, I got to run. But listen, one word, Clapper. What do you think?
Clapper is already a proven liar. He lied to Congress twice.
Good to go. This is Sean Hannity Radio Show. 800-941-7326. Find me on Twitter, @JGilliam_Seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. We'll be right back.
Digging deep to expose how the government wastes your money each and every day. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald Trump has accused you of trying to unmask the Americans on the other end of those conversations in an attempt to implicate the Trump campaign or people associated with Trump in some kind of collusion with Russia. What is your reaction to that? It's an extraordinary charge by the President of the United States.
Well, Fareed, it's absolutely false. I've addressed this previously. I think now we've had subsequently members of Congress on the intelligence committees on both sides of the aisle take a look at the information that apparently was the basis for Chairman Nunes's concern and say publicly that they didn't see anything that was unusual or untoward. I did my job, which was to protect the American people, and I did it faithfully and to the best of my ability. And never did I do anything that was untoward with respect to the intelligence I received.
President's allies say that the fact that Manafort was wiretapped proves that the president was right to accuse the former president of wiretapping him, and you were wrong. What's your response?
Well, I stand on that statement that you just replayed, and I cannot comment on the media reporting, which is all we have, about a FISA warrant allegedly lodged against Mr. Manafort. I can't comment on that. I will simply reiterate what I said in March, and I stand on that.
Yeah, and that there is, as far as Trump Tower being wiretapped, according to the president, you say what?
I stand on what I said on the 5th of March on Meet the Press, as you just replayed it.
So did you know about a FISA warrant against Paul Manafort at the time?
I did not.
You did not?
Okay. And I, again, I have to say that what we have is media reporting only, mm-hmm. and actually commenting on, you know, FISAs are classified. And so, you know, even if I knew something about it, I couldn't, and I don't. And I will just conclude by saying I stand on what I said on the 5th of March.
Is it possible the president was picked up in a conversation with Paul Manafort?
It's certainly conceivable. Yeah,
is it likely?
I can't say. I wouldn't want to go there, but I will say it's possible.
Okay.
Folks, you were just listening to so many players from the, whatever you want to call it, the deep state. I call it an organized criminal enterprise or a subversive enterprise that exists in this country. I believe we have proof now when we look at this wiretapping, when we look at the no-knock warrant where they picked the lock and went into Manafort's bedroom, when we look at the lies and the way the media has played a part, we can identify the potential, not saying they are, but the potential that a FISA court judge may be involved in this, that a U.S. attorney may be involved, that the former attorney general and other individuals like Rosenstein, Mueller, Comey, from the FBI deputy directors, all these people have worked so closely together, and you can talk to any investigator, nothing is this clean. Nothing is where I need evidence that somebody's doing something wrong, and then it just appears, unless you're working a case that you're either trying to entrap somebody, which is illegal, or you're using a source to go out and ask specific questions to see if somebody's guilty, which is different than having them go out and say, I have evidence of something, do you want to see it? That's totally different. This sounds like entrapment, and it sounds like a group of people that have and still are working together. And before I bring on our next guest, watching last night on Tucker Carlson's show, we had he had Rob Reiner on there. Rob Reiner says he's gonna put together this panel to investigate this Russian thing. Who is Rob Reiner to be investigating anything? First of all, right, meathead. Stay meathead. You know nothing about investigations. How do I know that? Well, first of all, the very first person listed on your panel is James Clapper, the same liar that you just heard right there talking out of one side of his mouth and then the other side of his mouth. It's just this stuff, folks, is so infuriating because to an investigator, a trained investigator, it's obvious. But to the American people, when you're listening to communists like Don Lemon and Farrukh Azeed, you're going to see things completely different. It's called propaganda. Let's bring in Victoria Tunsing and Joe DeGeneva. I have to make sure I get those names correct. They're the founders of the Washington, D.C. law firm, DeGeneva and Tunsing. Great to have you all on here. I've heard a lot about you. And you have tremendous insight into this stuff that I've been describing here. Can you just tell the American people from your insight into Washington, D.C., that the potential for these people to collude in such a way actually exists? Because I think a lot of people just don't think it's possible.
Well, it's only made able to exist because the press nurtures it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what business do they have going to Clapper to ask him if there's a FISA or a Title III wiretap? He doesn't know squat about whether there are, so that he can then take advantage of it and come out and say, well, to my knowledge, I don't know. And then that way, the Obama administration gets to make the claim that there isn't one, because that's what the press wanted. You should go to the Attorney General. That's who you ask, a former Attorney General, if there's a FISA or Title III.
You know, I'm going to say more bothered, but the fact that a FISA judge could give a warrant, a no-knock warrant where they can pick the lock, and they use an excuse that there may be national security evidence destroyed. So they go in, pick the lock, go in secretly as though they couldn't knock on the door or bust it down at 6 o'clock in the morning and gather a computer before. What's he going to do, flush that down the toilet? I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it. That's so criminal to me.
Well, here's what we don't know mm-hmm. about this. That warrant, which was executed at Paul Manafort's home in Virginia, appears to have not been a FISA warrant. It appears to have been a criminal search warrant, which was sought from a federal judge, not a FISA court judge, because they were seizing criminal evidence pursuant to a grand jury. What we have here is a series of things beginning in 2014 with a FISA wiretap on Paul Manafort. That wiretap went on for a number of months, and eventually it ended with nothing happening. In other words, there was no criminal referral, and whatever intelligence was obtained, it was sufficiently of no value that they were not allowed to continue it by the FISA court. Then in 2016, another FISA warrant is sought based on information concerning some Russians. And that FISA warrant stayed in place and, for all we know, just ended recently. But it also led to the issuance of criminal search warrants, which were done at his home. The bottom line in all of this is that it's pretty apparent that John Clapper lied and that for some reason he continues to want to make public statements about this instead of disappearing. Loretta Lynch is never going to appear on television. She couldn't withstand questioning about her role, especially her tarmac meeting with Bill Clinton. But the entire part of this that becomes even more disturbing and more bothersome is to hear Trey Gowdy of the House Intelligence Committee say that he's listened to the testimony of Susan Rice and thinks that she acted appropriately. It is inconceivable to me that Susan Rice and Samantha Power and others acted appropriately, given the number of unmasking requests that they made of Trump campaign and Trump campaign associates. I don't know what's happened to Trey Gowdy. I don't know why he said what he did, but his comments are bizarre and extremely disappointing and lead to the ultimate conclusion that most Republicans on Capitol Hill don't know how to conduct oversight, or they don't want to conduct oversight. I find the performance by Republicans on Capitol Hill to be utterly incompetent.
You know what's interesting about this, Joe, is that I've traveled all over the country talking to just normal people. They're not attorneys. They don't work in Washington, D.C. They're not politicians. These are just normal people across this country that are fed up. And they are saying the exact same thing that you're saying. When Hillary Clinton sat in front of Congress and all these people hem and hawed and nothing even close to became of it, it was just like them showboating in there, that really woke people up. And I think now what you're starting to see is that, and I hope this is the case, that people are starting to realize, even people that hate Trump, that there is something going on within this whole D.C. realm that is so unconceivably evil is the only word I can use for it, because it's so I don't want to even say criminal, because it goes in sheer contrast to what our laws and our country of laws stand for. I mean, when you let me just ask you this, Victoria, the time that you've been there, is this something that has increased? Has it always been there, and is it blowing your mind the way this has gotten?
The press has never been complicit. Mm-hmm. When you look back at Benghazi, the Lois Lerner and the IRS, you look back at all of these issues, that if a Republican had been doing it, they would have been out of office. Mm-hmm. And the press has ignored it. That's what frightens me. And then it goes along with what Joe has been saying. In the security, I don't want to get too far off field from our original subject, but in Benghazi, the security went from 38 people to guard the ambassador to 9 when he went to Benghazi. I begged that committee, Gowdy's committee, to ask that question, and they would not do it. I have no idea what is wrong with the Republicans being as bad as the press.
Isn't it strange? We got a minute, and then we're going to go to break. But I'd like to hold you all over, because I think the people need to hear from you a little bit longer, if you don't mind staying on hold for a minute. We're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you, because I think you're making a great and valid point, and it goes to the fact that the Republicans or conservatives in this country are disconnected from the Republican establishment, and they can't figure it out either. So tell you what, let's take a break real quick. Victoria Tunsing and Joe DeGeneva, from the Washington, D.C. law firm, DeGeneva and Tunsing. And we'll be right back. You can call in 800-941-7326, 800-941-SEAN. And you can find me on Twitter at jgilliam_seal and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. Just let me remind you, I've got a book that's coming out December 12th. It's available right now for pre-order, called Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. Sean wrote the foreword. It's endorsed by Marcus Luttrell, The Lone Survivor. Go get it right now. Order it. And on December 12th, you will be empowered. We'll be right back. Ah, I'm still on. Let's see here. I am not used to these live reads. So here we go, folks. I want you to know, and I want you to remind you. See, I do a show every night, 8 p.m. I moved it from 9 to 8 because Sean is now going live at 9 on Mondays as of September 25th. And he's also got a show that's coming out, or a movie, excuse me, it's coming out October 27th of this year. And if you want to be a part of it, there's a contest going on. It's called letterebelight.com/contest, and you can be a part of that. So he's moving to 9 p.m. on Mondays on Fox News. That's Monday, September 25th, and the movie comes out October 27th. Woo, we got through that. All right, now let's get back to my specialty, investigating. Obviously, live reads is not my specialty. So, bringing back with our guest, Victoria Tunsing and Joe DeGeneva. As we were talking before we went, you were talking about the Benghazi hearing and how they just didn't solve anything. And also, you were wanting them to ask certain questions of why the security was back down in that. And I was saying that the American people are seeing the same thing. Here's the question, though, that I have for you, and I didn't feel like I got the right answer to this. You guys have been around there for a long time. The American people are wanting to know, is this getting worse, or is it just that the people that can cause these issues are now in power?
Well, it was getting worse. I'm sure Joe agrees. I've never seen it so bad as it was during the Obama administration. Even during the Clinton administration, the press at least was covering Monica Lewinsky.
Right, right. Yeah, well,
I don't think there's any doubt that the American press no longer serves the purpose which was intended for it under the First Amendment. They no longer are objective. They're no longer neutral. They are anti-Trump. They're anti-Republican Party, and they are anti-conservative. They are ideological in nature. They have abandoned all pretense of objectivity. And the American people now are understandably and justifiably turning to alternative sources of information. And it shows in the ratings, in the failing newspapers, and in the ability of people to get information from elsewhere. I think it's really pretty frightening that you can have a criminal enterprise functioning in the White House for 8 years under Barack Obama.
I got to go, Joe. Listen, Victoria Tunsing and Joe DeGeneva, I thank you. Sorry I have to cut you off. We just have to go to a hard break. We'll be right back. 800-941-7326. Call in. Let me know what you think. And find me on Twitter at jgilliam_seal. We'll be right back.
One thing you can always count on. Sean Hannity is back on the radio.
Not today, though. This is Jonathan Gill. I'm filling in for Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. Don't forget, Sean goes live at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, September 25th on Fox News. So he's moving from 10 over to 9. Laura Ingraham's taking over the 10 o'clock slot. And I know that's going to make a lot of people happy that we're staying up late to watch Sean's show. Also, you can find me on Twitter, jgilliam_seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. And don't forget, I'm going to keep bringing this up because as we talk about this stuff today, if you pre-order my book, it comes out December 12th. It's called Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. And what it's going to help you do is learn how to build target packages on yourself from an attacker's point of view so that you can turn around and secure every sector of your life. Now, as I was talking about earlier today, I have used this technique when I was in the FBI and the SEAL teams to do target packages on an enemy. But also, you can do it from the attacker's point of view on yourself. I looked at this country the same way. Who would want to subvert this country? Why would they want to do this? And we've been having a real problem in Washington, D.C., as we've been talking about this whole show. Joining me now is somebody that stepped into that and has since stepped back out, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And first of all, I think this is the first time that we've talked since you left the White House. I want to thank you for your service, and I know that it must just be crazy existing up there when you're an effective thinker.
That's a very interesting way of putting it. Thank you. It's pretty crazy when you want to get stuff done and you realize how deep and how wide the swamp is. So, you know, people think the swamp is Congress and Capitol Hill. The swamp is as much the bureaucracy as it is the politicians in Congress. So, yeah, it's if you want to do stuff, if you want to serve the nation and promote the message of November the 8th, right now it's easy to do that outside of the White House, and that's why both Steve Bannon and myself resigned a month ago.
Yeah. Well, Godspeed. If there's anything I can ever do, don't hesitate to reach out to me. My listeners love you, and we thank you for all that you're doing. And now it appears that you and Sarah Palin are stumping for Judge Roy Moore in Montgomery, Alabama. And this is what's interesting about this. That is not President Trump's choice. So you know that the media is going to be all over that.
It's not his official choice, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just put it at that. Judge Roy Moore, I was down at the rally talking for him with the governor yesterday. He is pure MAGA. He is America First. He's Make America Great Again. A guy who stood up for the truth, stood up for faith, God, and the American way. And he's running against this person, Luther Strange, who's quintessential swamp creature. He's a lobbyist. He was appointed to Congress. He was appointed to the Senate by a corrupt governor who had to leave office. You know, he is, you know, all you need to know is forget what the president said about him, because, you know, he's been given bad advice. But Luther Strange has the endorsement of Mitch McConnell, and that's all you need to know why he shouldn't be the person we vote for.
Is it disheartening for you all when you see the president backing him, the McConnell's choice, or is it? Do you understand that deals have to be made?
No, it's not. It's not disheartening at all, because I know what the president's all about and how he's committed to his agenda. It's just proof that we need to support him from the outside. We need to give him as much ammunition as possible. We need to support people who really understand what happened on November the 8th, as opposed to people who just want business as usual. So, no, it's just, you know, it's one more piece of evidence that we have to keep fighting the good fight, because, as Steve Bannon said at the CPAC meeting, if you think the administrative state and the swamp dwellers are going to give up their hold, their stranglehold on power easily, then you are very much mistaken. So this is going to be a fight.
Now, let me just change the subject just a little bit here, because you've recently left that area, and you was that your first experience ever being in that swamp?
Well, I spent 6 years as a professor of irregular warfare at the Defense Department at National Defense University, but that was very different. It's my first experience at you know, the highest level of American politics, and surrounded by swamp creatures. Yeah.
What was your biggest takeaway that the American people, because I think American people want to hear from you on this. What's your biggest takeaway from there that Americans can do, and what Americans should know about the way that this stuff works?
Okay, so two things. Number one, the president's never going to give up. So whatever happens on the short term, the number of bad guys surrounding the president in the White House is a temporary state of affairs. I said that in my resignation letter. We will be back, or people who share the president's agenda. So have faith.
Looks like we're losing Dr. Gorka. Dr. Gorka, hold on. Start again. It looks like we lost you there for a second.
So
yeah, no.
Is a fighter. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Sort of. I tell you what, let's call him back and see if we can get a better signal. And then let me just carry on with this for a second while we try to get Dr. Gorka back on here. The reason I'm asking him this is that, first of all, Dr. Gorka is as far from a politician as somebody could possibly be. Hopefully we'll get him back on the phone because I really want to hear this answer. But I think it's important for the American people to hear almost from somebody who just left Washington, D.C., just like if I was interviewing somebody who had just been in a terrorist attack or somebody who just saw a bank robber, to get the real evidence, to get the real eyewitness accounts of what happened. And so we got Dr. Gorka back online. So, Doctor, as I was just saying there, the reason why it's important for me to ask you these questions is that you're fresh out of there. It's like somebody who just walked out of a bank after it was robbed, and I'm the FBI agent, and I'm asking you questions. Tell me about this guy. What was he like? How did he? What was his tactics? You know, what do the American people need to know that they don't know about how Washington, D.C. works?
Well, the two biggest things that they should understand is everybody needs to, you know, calm down, count to 10, take a deep breath. Just because Steve and I left the building doesn't mean that the game is over. This is going to be an 8-year presidency, and then it's going to be 8 years of President Pence. The president will not give up. He's a fighter, and we will be back on track soon. It is a temporary state of affairs. Secondly, is just to understand how deep the swamp is. As I said, it's not just politicians. It's not just senators. It's not just congressmen. It is those officials, those GS, you know, 12, those GS-13 bureaucrats who think they know better than the elected, duly elected president of the United States, and who think that they can obstruct him. So it's going to be a long, hard fight. When Steve Bannon said, you know, taking back the nation from the swamp is going to be hard, he was absolutely right.
See, that's interesting because that was my experience. I've been around and talked to staffers from Congress and the Hill, and you know, I got along with some of them really well, actually. But many of them are snakes in the grass, and the congressmen or senators that they work for do little to nothing, and these people do the majority of the work. So they're the ones that are gaining power. And I can't, the other thing I can't understand is, you know, I majored in political science and psychology, but I never knew the power of the White House, not the presidency, the White House. And it seems like that whole bureaucracy in and around the White House is so deeply entrenched with swamp that I don't even know if the president realized this when he went in there.
Yeah, look, you have to remember what happened on November the 8th. It's like the original Red Dawn movie, right? It was a scrappy band of insurgents. It was like the Wolverines, one against the 16 GOP establishment candidates and a woman who had spent $700 million thinking that the presidency was something she was owed. So, you know, come January the 20th, when we moved into the building, it was a hostile takeover. It was the largest leveraged hostile takeover. Takeover in human history. There's a few dozen men and women who really believed in the agenda who moved into the White House to run a government of millions of employees, many of whom had entrenched interests and still do. So it's going to be a drag out, you know, bare knuckle fight, but we will win because the president is a force of nature.
And when you watch the news, you knew this before you went in because you were, you know, you've been a part of the media. But being up there and being a part of it, I know when I was in the FBI, I responded to a helicopter and a plane crash off that hit each other off the right here in the Hudson River. And they pulled what was left of a human body and an arm out of the water. And a helicopter was recording this from far off. And they reported on the news that an adult and a baby had been pulled out of the water. So it's completely fabricated on what they thought they saw. No legal standard as to what they report. Having been there inside the White House, does your head just spin when you see some of this stuff?
Look, my parents escaped the communist dictatorship. My father was liberated from a communist political prison. So I thought I was duly cynical about the ways of the world. Let me tell you, I had no idea. The last 7 months in the White House have been a complete education in just how rotten Denmark is, if you get my drift. The idea that you could have mainstream media organs call Steve Bannon a white supremacist, whose best buddies and whose employees are Orthodox Jews, who mainstream media call the president an anti-Semite when his grandchildren are Orthodox Jews. It's reprehensible. The media has lost. It's not only financially bankrupt in many cases, like the Washington Post, which has to be funded by Jeff Bezos. They are morally bankrupt. So yes, that's why I say every day, God bless the president and his Twitter feed.
I'm not going to lie to you. When you said that, I looked up at Linda, and chills just went through me. To have you, a guy that's always been a voice of reason in the media, somebody with real experience, say what you just said, that you even didn't see the reality of this, it makes me feel a sense of evil that's in Washington, D.C. That is, it's communism in a lot of ways, globalism, whatever you want to call it, socialism, that these people have moved in there. And then I think there's just a lot of people that'll just jump on whatever bandwagon they can to get power.
No, but it is evil. Forget about the people who jump on and pile on. It is evil. And I had one journalist, one low-life journalist, in the space of 4 months, write 45 hit pieces against just me. In the space of the last few months, they've attacked my dead mother's reputation. They've attacked my wife. They've attacked my teenage son and critiqued his high school projects to use them as a political tool against me. These people don't deserve to be called journalists. They're political hacks. But the bottom line is, it's fine, because they're not torturing me like my father was during communism, and they're not shooting at me like you were shot at. So bring it on. It's words. We will win.
Well, I'll stand with you, my friend. I'll stand with you in this, and so will the American people. God bless you. I can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, thank you, my friend.
Don't mention it. God bless you and the listeners.
You got it. This is Jonathan Gillum filling in for Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. You can call in 800-941-7326, 800-941-SEAN. Don't forget, find me on Twitter, jgilliam_seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam, and go to order my book, Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. It's available on Amazon right now. Go get it. This is Jonathan Gillum filling in for Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. You can find me on Twitter, jgilliam_seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. And you can call in 800-941-7326. Well, let me ask you a question. How many people out there are looking for a job? Just like, I want you to think about this for a second. Just one corporate job. Only 4 to 6 people will ever get interviewed out of 250 resumes received. Those are not very good odds when you think about it, and it's only going to get worse with the competitive nature of how people are getting, and they're getting smarter and more competitive in school. The fact is, you need a real person advocating to a real employer that has a real job. And that's where Express Employment Professionals come in. Express is your local resource to help you get a new job. Express has more than 18,000 jobs available weekly. That's real jobs. That's 18,000 jobs that need to be filled right now. Find yourself the nearest office at expresspros.com, and Express never charges a job seeker to help find employment. Your locally owned Express office can connect you with available jobs in your community. On express.com, find jobs in manufacturing, accounting, customer service, sales, distribution, and information technology. You name it, they will provide the help. Visit the nearest Express office today to speak with hiring professionals connected to the available jobs in your community. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Now, we're going to come back here in just a few minutes. And this is something that has been burning a hole inside of me quite some time, but really took on a massive flame over the past couple of weeks with, of all places, John Jay College of Criminal Justice had a professor there, and I reached out to some people that I know that went to school there. His name was Michael Isaacson, and this guy is a member of Antifa, and not just like a covert member. He just professes his Antifa membership all the time, would challenge people in class. And you're telling me that the president of John Jay didn't know this? Let's look at Harvard for a second. Harvard, reaches out, the Kennedy School at Harvard reaches out to old Chelsea Manning, a.k.a. Bradley Manning, asks him to come and be a visiting fellow. Are you kidding me? What is going on with these administrators in the universities? Well, I'll tell you what. Troy Warden from campusreform.org and correspondent and senior at Berkeley, and R.C. Maxwell, a.k.a. Black Hannity on Twitter, will be here to talk about this in just a second. I can't wait to hear. This is going to be good. Because this, my friends, is a problem not just now, but for the future. We'll be right back.
As
This is Jonathan Gillum filling in for Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. Hope you guys have a great weekend as soon as we get off here, because your weekend doesn't start until this show is over with. You will sit there. This is an order. You will sit there and listen for the rest of this show because you're going to learn something, okay, folks? And this is very important. If you're a college student, or if you are sending some kids off to college, or if you're just worried about the future of this country, I'm starting to see more and more issues like this guy, Michael Isaacson. You might have saw him on, he was interviewed a couple times on Fox, I think by Tucker Carlson and Kennedy. And he's an Antifa member and also was a adjunct professor at John Jay School. Get this, John Jay School of Criminal Justice, where they had to have known that he was part of Antifa because he professed it all the time in class. And would challenge people who were Trump supporters, for instance. So, you know, when we're setting up this show and thinking about who to bring on to talk, I've talked a lot about Antifa in the past. What I want to show is the absurdity of these universities in bringing these people in. And what it shows to me is that they are culpable. They're either a part of the mindset that these people hold, or they're completely incompetent in their jobs. And I would have to think it was the first thing I said, that they're culpable of being a part of this. R.C. Maxwell been on this show before, and he was punched. I wanted to reach out to get somebody who was up close and personal with the reality of who these Antifa members are. This was who was teaching at John Jay College, teaching the students there. Future cops saying in a Twitter rant that cops should be killed. RC was punched by one of these individuals in Laguna Beach, California, during a Trump. Was it a Trump rally, RC?
It was a conservative rally, Trump rally style. It was technically for victims of illegal immigration, so it had those overtones of what President Trump's agenda was.
Yeah. Did you sustain much of an injury from this? I mean, was it a snowflake slap, or is it like they're known for, to, you know, where they had something, you know, they hit you with or something?
He tried his best. You know, he laid into me with a punch and stuff like that, but, you know, I took it like a champ, and I the next day. So yeah, definitely a snowflake punch, but you know, these people were definitely out for blood, and they're still characterized as counter protesters and peaceful in the media, including by guys like Isaacson. And you know, the Department of Justice has already filed inquiries into DreamHost for hosting some of their online activities. We know police agencies have mentioned them publicly, so you know, anyone touting them should definitely not be in charge of an academic arena, let alone of the John Jay School.
Right. And so that's where last week on my show, The Experts, which you can tune in. I'd love to have you on that show anytime you want to be on there. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, simulcast on all of them. But I was talking about how I believe that the president of John Jay College should resign. She should resign for employing somebody who said that cops should be dead and who's part of a communist, subversive, violent group that preaches terrorism.
No, I think that's 100% legitimate. And, you know, leftists are already trying to say that we're somehow contradicting ourselves when it comes to free speech. You know, we're definitely free speech advocates, but, you know, when you say things publicly, it doesn't mean that you don't have consequences for them. So, you know, if you were to be terminated or there were to be action taken against these individuals, it wouldn't be a strike against free speech. It would specifically be a strike against individuals who condone violence in the political arena. We've had people shot. You know, Steve Scalise was shot as a result of inciting violence. So, you know, it's definitely taken a turn for the worst. And, you know, you should hold leaders accountable. So they want Trump to go farther disavowing violence. You know, the John Jay School can definitely take a step disavowing violence by letting some folks go.
So I got two questions for you here. Both of them have to do with color your skin. First of all, you call yourself the Black Hannity. Where did that come from? I got to know this story.
Black Hannity came from, you know, the fact that, you know, I've been known as a conservative, and, you know, to do so in California, where I grew up and went to school, is definitely something that is, you know, odd to folks. So, you know, I definitely defended Hannity so much, especially when they tried to come after his advertisers unsuccessfully. So that's when I decided to become Black Hannity, because, you know, I did a lot of work to defend him there on Twitter. So.
I love it. Hopefully there'll be a Black Gillum out there somewhere. Actually, there is. John Gillum is a football player and a professional football player.
I know some folks who might be interested in being a Black Gillum. We'll talk about that as well.
Now, the fact, let's just talk about this for a second as well. The fact is, when you got punched, what was the media's response?
The media's response was fair when it comes to alt media and conservative media. You know, I think Mike Cernovich did a lot to popularize the incident, which led to, obviously, you know, folks from Fox reaching out and, you know, real clear politics and stuff like that. But, you know, the Washington Post did do a pretty fair article, but I've yet to see anything from CNN. I've yet to see anything from MSNBC, and they are the folks who have been defending Antifa to the end of the earth, including people like Tariq Nasheed, who, you know, consistently incites violence and supports these kind of hate groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. So nothing from CNN, and I'm not shocked.
Well, neither am I. I was a contributor there for a year, and I was only on there for 4 months because they realized this guy tells the truth and not our narrative. And so quickly they shelved me, which was fine with me. They paid me for the rest of the year. I was able to finish my book and, you know, do all this stuff. Thank you to CNN's paycheck. And quite frankly, I just could not be associated with them, because the further that the election process went, this was in 2015 into 2016, it just got worse and worse, just uglier and more communistic in the way that they talk and supportive of all these things. But let me bring in real quick Troy Warden. He is from campusreform.org. He's a correspondent and a senior at Berkeley. Heaven help you, my friend. Do you run from building to building, or is it not quite that bad yet there in Berkeley?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, it's gotten to the point now where I do have to look over my shoulder. Campus Reform has numerous articles about this. My girlfriend was almost attacked, beaten with lead pipes by groups of so-called anti-fascists who didn't like the fact that she had certain political views. It's gotten to a point now where we're afraid. We're always looking over our shoulder whenever we walk around campus. The students don't like us. The faculty definitely don't give us the kind of support we need, and the administration doesn't either. So it's basically a free-for-all at this point. You never know what's going to happen class from class or day to day.
Well, so here's what I want to give you some advice. People are going to think I'm plugging my book right now, but I'm not. I have a book that I wrote that's coming out in December, and it talks about building target packages on yourself. Just know this, both you guys and anybody that's listening to this, it's in this predicament. from what these two gentlemen are telling us, in as far as campus life goes, this stuff is there, and they're violent. So you need to do yourself a favor and look at the different sectors of your life, and you can kind of determine the direction that these people will come from. What are your vulnerabilities? You got to be at this building at this certain time. How can you mitigate that threat? And what are your critical times and critical areas? And you can really look and see how these people work, because they definitely have shown their colors. And in Berkeley, especially, when you have a mayor that subscribes to by all means necessary Facebook page and belongs to them, and the chief of police at Berkeley, your protection is not going to come from politics or the police there. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, it's gotten to a point where we've had to partner with the Young Americas Foundation and sue for our First Amendment rights, because this issue is related to our personal safety, but it's also related to our First Amendment right, our ability to express our views on campus. Every day, students here at Berkeley get a liberal point of view, not just from speakers on campus, but from their very own professors. Mm-hmm. They never hear a conservative point of view, so they're very startled when they have to hear it. And some people don't like that, and they want to use violence to shut it down. So, you know, we're hoping that our lawsuit moves forward. We have our first hearing coming up soon. I just want to say that the university pretends that they have won the issue of free speech because they actually allowed the police to do their job and protect Ben Shapiro when he came to campus not too long ago. But I just want to say they haven't won, and they have definitely not won in the court of public opinion. We will not stop fighting until all students, not just conservatives, but all students have the right to speak here. It's gotten so bad that leftists such as Richard Dawkins and Bill Maher can't speak at Berkeley without being disinvited or heckled the entire time.
Interesting. So let me ask you guys this. I got about a minute left. I'll just real quick, I'll give you about 15 seconds each. What would you suggest that the American people do to get on board to in order to see the reality of what's happening? Go ahead.
I would say that folks just need to pay attention. The thing is, you got to read through the lines nowadays when it comes to the media. So the onus is really on the American public to make sure that they are reading these organizations for what they are, and that they, you know, look beyond the media op and, yeah, and really pay close attention this weekend to Berkeley.
Troy?
I'll have to agree with that advice. I'd also recommend, if you're dissatisfied with the status quo, if you're dissatisfied with police forces or administrators, call them up. Because guess what? These people listen when you tell them you're not going to donate anymore, when you're going to protest their events, when you're going to speak out against the status quo. So don't ever underestimate the power you have. Just pick up the phone and let people know how you feel.
You got it. Troy Warden, campusreform.org, correspondent and senior at Berkeley. Heaven help you, my friend. And R.C. Maxwell, a.k.a. the Black Hannity on Twitter. Thank you guys for all that you do. You're the future. You're the right future. This is Sean Hannity Radio Show, 800-941-7326. We'll be right back.
Making America first, safe, and great again. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
For those of you that forgot who I am as I'm reading that, I'm Jonathan Gillum, former Navy SEAL, Federal Air Marshal, security contractor, and FBI special agent. And the call-in number is 800-941-7326. You're asking, how the heck did this guy with all this tactical experience get into radio? Well, it's a long story. I can thank my good friend Catherine Herridge for getting me in this, and then Sean Hannity and David Webb and some other people, Linda back here in the production booth, for furthering me along and mentoring me as I came into the media system.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you know, evidently I'm getting some tweets today that they're like, let your guest speak more.
Oh, please. You've done great.
Well, I try. But I'm from the South. Listen, this is what people need to realize. I'm from the South. We talk a lot, okay? And we mispronounce people's names constantly. But I want to take a phone call real quick. That's my disclaimer. I always say that when I host. I just butcher people's names. Let's go to Brian in Morris, Oklahoma, who says that there's a civil war within our own government. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. First of all, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for your service to our country.
You got it.
And, yeah, I kind of want to reaffirm everything that you've been saying. When you started out your program today, you were talking about it doesn't matter whether you're liberal, Democrat, Republic. None of that matters. What really matters is that we have a government that's supposed to be for the people, by the people. And I want to point out the latter half of our Pledge of Allegiance, which says one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But as an American citizen, and I listen to these programs and I'm watching fake news media, what I see is the most heinous political civil war that I've ever witnessed. I'm only 37 years old, mm-hmm. but to me, it seems like on a daily basis, it's just getting worse and worse, and it's trickling down into our society. We're beginning to see our own citizens just go at each other's throats, and how could we expect anything less when that's exactly what our leadership is doing?
Yeah, so. But let me just say this. I don't disagree with anything you're saying there, but I think, personally, having, you know, worked in investigations, seen how these criminal enterprises work, I think it's less of a civil war going on in between the two parties up there, and more of there's definitely an ideological war being waged on the Constitution and on our government, and that's by people in the Democratic Party who are communists. There's no doubt in my mind that that exists. But also, there's two competing criminal enterprises there ran by these establishment members. I talked to Michael Reagan on Newsmax about a week ago, and he said that if the country turned communist, it would only take the Republicans about a week longer than the Democrats in Washington, D.C. to fall to communism. And that's absolutely terrifying when you think about it. Listen, thank you, Brian, for the call. We'll talk more about this coming back. 800-941-7326. And you can find me on Twitter, jgilliam_seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. And go to Amazon right now. Get my book, Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. We'll be back.
Stay in touch with the Hannity faithful. Join the message board at Hannity.com.
If we're honest with ourselves, and as artists, I think we have to be honest with ourselves, we know that the biggest TV star of the last year is Donald Trump. Yeah. No, may not like it. He's the biggest star. You know, and Alec Baldwin, obviously. You know, you guys are neck and neck. And Alec, you're up against a lot of neck. You feel about the president, and you do feel about the president. You can't deny that every show was influenced by Donald Trump in some way. All the late night shows, obviously, House of Cards, the new season of American Horror Story, and of course, next year's Latin Grammys, hosted by Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Muy caliente. And we all know the Emmys mean a lot to Donald Trump, because he was nominated multiple times for Celebrity Apprentice, but he never won. Why didn't you give him an Emmy? I tell you this, if he had won an Emmy, I bet he wouldn't have run for president. So in a way, this is all your fault. Why? I thought you people loved morally compromised anti-heroes. You like Walter White. He's just Walter much whiter. And even during the campaign, Trump would not let it go. This actually happened. This exchange actually happened in the debates.
There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged again.
Should have gotten it.
This.
But he didn't. Because unlike the presidency, Emmys go to the winner of the popular vote. Where do I find the courage to tell that joke in this room?
Funny. I don't remember being funny stopping Stephen Colbert from having his own show that he says is a comedy show. So, listen, that nonsense right there, let me just tell you first off, when it comes to Alec Baldwin, those of you who don't know, maybe you just tuned in. This is Jonathan Gillum filling in for Sean Hannity on the Sean Hannity radio show. Call in number is 800-941-7326, 800-941-SEAN. I don't know if you remember, how many years ago it was. Corey Lytle was a pitcher for the Yankees. He was flying a plane with an instructor, and he crashed into a building on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. You know, I was one of the first FBI agents there when that happened. Alec Baldwin lived either in that building or building next to it, and we wouldn't let him, I was just standing there, but they wouldn't let him pass the police line. And this guy threw a fit like some kind of psychopath. You know, you see, that's the reality of who these people are. Before you put people on a pedestal, I don't care if they're politicians or celebrities, I don't care if they're funny, you need to look at who the people really are and what they do for a living. They do nothing. They sit in front of a TV and they entertain people, no different than court jesters 1,000 years ago used to do the same thing. If they weren't funny, they got killed. That's about how much meaning their careers have. Once you write about that, Mediaite, that I said that. Bree Payton, I'm going to bring, do we have Bree? Is she on right now? Okay. Bree Payton is a millennial and pop culture writer at The Federalist. I love that. I wish I could say I'm a millennial, but I'm not. I don't know what I am. I was born in 69. I don't know what that makes me. But anyway, we don't have to figure that out now. Stop. So you wanted to discuss, I've been talking about these Hollywood elitists and how they relate to the same mindset that is at the top of the universities, that is on the left in politics. Not really the left so much in politics. There's no really left and right as much as there's just establishment in Washington, D.C. now. But you pay close attention to the millennials, or excuse me, to the pop culture. How are the millennials seeing this?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of what you said a minute ago before I came on about the diminished role that people in culture play and how it's not very important. And I'm going to have to push back with you a little bit. I think that, as Andrew Breitbart once said many times, he said that politics is downstream of culture. And I think a lot of times what we did see on the stage at the Emmy Awards on Sunday night, I think that, you know, what we're seeing on our TVs, what we're seeing on stages at big award ceremonies like that, I think it's going to reflect itself in the ballot box at a later time. And I think you are right that it is definitely important to influence and have a discussion about the events that do go on at award shows and on TV and that we hear on the radio and shows like this one, as I think that they do have a ripple effect on the ballot box later. That being said, I think it's very clear that decades and decades of Hollywood liberal smugness, you know, pushed a lot of people into voting for Donald Trump. I mean, a lot of the polling coming out of the election showed that voters who did vote for him, they casted a vote for him not because they were enthusiastic about his policy ideas necessarily, although definitely a large faction of them were. But some of them just voted for him because they didn't like Hillary Clinton and they were sick of being told to, you know, sit down and shut up and do every single thing that Hollywood liberal elites told them. So I definitely think that what we're seeing now and the difference between what we're seeing on stage at award shows, at the Emmys, and what we're seeing reflected in the ballot box, I think the discrepancy there makes perfect sense when you think about it in context, right? We're seeing an electoral backlash against a lot of these smug attitudes and smug behaviors and honestly unfunny jokes, slamming people and the president who was duly elected.
But, okay, so going along with what you said there at the beginning of that, where, how did you say it, that Breitbart said that
politics is downstream from culture,
right?
Which is why we have to talk about it and
right.
write about it.
And, I don't disagree with you at all. What I think, though, that of course he said that before the 2016 election process, which has changed a lot of stuff, because these people, they don't hide themselves anymore, and they say the most ridiculous things that could ever be said. But what I want to know from you, though, how is this affecting the millennials and Generation Z that's coming up now? That's the next generation. do they see this? Or are they just meme oriented? They whatever news they catch, they just take it as gospel. Are they smarter than this, or is this a real problem?
Yeah, I think, you know, millennials and Generation Z are definitely a lot more skeptical of information that they are given than previous generations. I don't think that, you know, just wholly accepting a dogma is emblematic of my or younger generations at all. And I think that we, my opinion, my, you know, prophecy, if I had a crystal ball, I think that in the future, we're going to continue to see ripple effects and backlashes among younger voters against the establishment. And I mean, we did see that in regards to an overwhelming number of millennials liked Bernie Sanders and a lot of the ideas that he supported. Now, obviously, you and I disagree that single payer healthcare system is effective at all, or many of the other policy proposals that he harped up on the campaign trail. You and I would say that, you know, those are totally ineffectual for our country. But I do think that their overwhelming support of him over Hillary Clinton indicates that, you know, they aren't about the status quo. They aren't about the status quo candidate. They are wanting to push forward and talk about new ideas and things that haven't been done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, that part about it specifically bothers me about Bernie Sanders, because they have to, and this is where I hope that young people start to do this, they have to seek out truth from experienced people. If they don't have the experience, I always say this, wisdom is made up of knowledge, understanding, and experience. And if you don't have any of those three, you need to seek those out before you take something as the gospel.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I mean, as Margaret Thatcher once said, the facts of life are conservative. And this is a phenomenon that we've seen played out over and over and time again, that voters, as they get older, they tend to be more conservative as time goes on. And I definitely do think that experience plays a role. And there was a recent poll that was just issued a few days ago talking about how high schoolers experience fewer life phenomenon, you know, rites of passage kind of things when by the time they graduate. Fewer and fewer high schoolers are deciding to get their driver's license. Fewer have actually ever driven a car. Fewer have taken their first drink of alcohol or dated someone for the first time. A lot of these milestones that we would consider rites of passage, younger people are just kind of delaying those more and more. This is a phenomenon that's been going on for the past decade, and I do think is reflected in a lot of the backlash against free speech, against free expression that we are seeing on college campuses. I think, quite frankly, and I mean, when I talk about this, I'm indicting myself also in this, right? I think that many individuals my age grew up rather coddled by their helicopter parents, and I think that they, you know, participate in fewer and fewer of these milestones while they're in high school. And then when they get to the college campus, whenever they hear an idea they don't like, you know, they can't even handle it.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that we do need to have a conversation about what it means to grow up and what that should look like, and what polite behavior in a free governing society looks like.
You know, I think what you're saying is something that young people need to hear. I think that, or I know that, what I'm going to talk about when I come back from the break about, learning to listen rather than showing up to speak. And I think that is something all young people, especially go-getters, have a problem with. I had a problem with it. I used to want to say everything that I could. But I think that if young people can get this and they can realize that, I need to listen and I need to see exactly what these people are saying and what their motivation is, I think they're going to find a tremendous amount of truth in the world if they can seek out that. Listen, I got to let you go, Bree. Thank you very much, Bree Payton. And how do they find you on Twitter, Bree?
You can follow me on Twitter at Bree_Payton, and you can read all of my work over at thefederalist.com.
You got it. Thank you very much. God bless you. Have a great weekend. This is Jonathan T. Gilliam filling in on the Sean Hannity Radio Show. For those of you that are cruising home on a Friday, you can find me on Twitter, jgilliam_seal, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. I'll be on my show at 8 p.m. tonight. I always do a Friday night toast. Come on and toast with me. It's on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Call the experts. and go get my book. Go to Amazon right now, pre-order it, Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. I'll teach you how to look at your life from an attacker's point of view so you can better defend yourself and prepare yourself in case you're ever caught up in an attack. Why not just avoid it? That's what this book helps you do. We'll be right back.
Government's got problems. He's got solutions. America listens to the Sean Hannity Show.
And folks, you're joining me here for the very last part of this show. This is Jonathan T. Gilliam. You can find me on Twitter, jgilliam_sill, and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. And I just want to remind everybody before the show ends tonight that Sean goes live at 9 on Monday, September 25th. That's this Monday. He's moving from 10 p.m. to 9 on Fox News. So that's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then he also has a new movie out October 27th. Of this year. And if you want to be a part of that, there's a contest going on called, where is it here? Let Her Be Light.
LetThereBeLightMovie.com/contest.
There you go. See, I told you, I'm from Arkansas. I screw it all up. When it comes to names of any type, we always transpose the letters. I don't know what that is. It's an Ozark thing. Anybody else from Arkansas, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Now, listen, I got a little bit over a minute here. I want to take one phone call. It's got to be quick, okay, Stephen? So let's go to Stephen in Pensacola. Stephen, go ahead.
Hey, Jonathan. Start real quick with thank you for your service then and for your service now.
You got it.
But and I definitely plan on getting your book. But I wanted to ask you, how do you think this is applicable to teenage girls and boys? I have a teenage son, and I'm definitely going to read it, but I want him to as well.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Excellent question, and I'll tell you right now, Stephen, that this is a book, and Sean Hannity wrote the foreword for this book. It's endorsed by Marcus Luttrell, and it is – I think for any young teenager to adult, parent, husband, wife, single person, college student, anybody that wants to learn truly how to protect themselves, what you do, you get this book. It teaches you how to divide your life up into sectors and then build a target package on yourself so that you can see how an attacker would see your life. I tell people about the mindset of an attacker, what an attack is, and how you can defend it once you get this knowledge. So thank you, Stephen, for that question. It's Sheep No More, The Art of Awareness and Attack Survival. It's available on Amazon.com right now and also Barnes & Noble, and it'll be out December 12th. Pre-order it. This is Jonathan T. Gilliam. You can find me on Twitter at jgilliam_seal and on Facebook at Jonathan T. Gilliam. I'll see you guys here at 8 o'clock tonight for my show, The Experts, for the Friday Night Toast. Peace!